You're listening to Fantasy Nightcap, a Fantasy Football Astronauts production, with your hosts, Fox and Shane.
Welcome into the Fantasy Nightcap. Grab a drink, kick back, and relax. I'll be your bartender for the night, Fox, and with me as always is my regular Shane. How are you doing tonight, man?
I am a pit of despair and depression as our boy Dak has gone down. Let's have a moment of silence for Dak. All right. He's going to be missed, but hopefully the Red Rifle can come in and play well for him.
Yeah.
What are you drinking? That was a big old sip.
Stone Delicious. What about you?
I'm drinking Trib Tab Paradise Now. It is a raspberry Berliner Weiss, and it's really good. It's a sour, which I normally don't like, but this one's grown on me a lot. And it's local to Birmingham, so always love that.
Oh, nice. Yeah, there's only like one kind of drink like that I can drink, and it's like one of my wife's favorites. And I can't even think of the name right now, but I remember when we worked together at BJ's, that's what she would always get. It was either that or like one of BJ's, like ciders.
Yeah.
But I remember like you can only buy them in like the bottles.
Ah.
And then I finally found them in a 6-pack or a 4-pack. And they're just absolutely expensive, but they're so good. But they're one of those ones that they're so sweet that they're so easy to drink.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, Frambois, that's what it's called.
Ah.
And it's delicious. But then they're the ones that you feel like absolute garbage the next day because all the sugar that's in it and just how sweet they are. Ugh.
For sure.
And it's like one of those ones, too, that if they're just cold enough, it's even better.
Yeah, definitely.
But she's not drinking right now, so it's not fair because it's the only time I'll drink it is if she drinks it.
Yeah.
Because it'll be, oh, I've run out of mine. Can I have one of yours?
Yeah, for sure. Oh, there's another beer, and I can't remember what it is now. It's another sour type beer, and I got it because and this is somewhat embarrassing, but my guilty pleasure show is Southern Charm on Bravo, and one of the dudes on there, yeah, exactly, one of the dudes on there brews his own beer, and it's called, now I'm totally forgetting what it's called, hold on, Trop Hop. And so I was trying to find a beer that was like Trop Hop here in Birmingham, and I found a couple that I like, but I can't remember what this one was called now. It's in like a bluish can. I'll figure it out and let you know.
No, it's all right. Below Deck is my guilty pleasure. So nice. I'm right there with you with the Bravo trash.
Yeah, my mom likes Below Deck and watches all like the Desperate Housewives shows.
Yeah, I'm stuck with those two. That's more my wife will put them on, and I'm stuck in there with them. Same with, what is it? Teen Mom.
Yep.
And you know what? It sucks because I know probably more about what's going on than she does because it's one of those things that I hate it, but I get invested because if I have to sit and watch it, I have to know what's going on.
Exactly.
But that's also where heavy drinking is involved because I just can't watch that sober in any fashion or I would jump off our balcony.
Let's not have you do that.
No.
please and thank you. I'd miss you very much.
That was the one like good part about this quarantine is that they were all so delayed.
Yeah.
The only one I don't mind watching is Below Deck. So, like, I was good with that being on. But all the other ones are pushed back. Mm-hmm. And now that she's pregnant, she's getting sick at night. So she's in the other room watching those without me. So it's like, okay, cool. I get out of some of them, but then I'm backlogged on others because I can't watch them with her at the moment.
Yeah, for sure.
Ah, so let's get into it.
Let's do it.
Do a quick rundown of the week and do our top shelves and flat performances here and then get to the waivers.
Yes, sir.
So let's kick it off with Thursday night's Bucks and Bears matchup. Do you think Leonard Fournette gets his or has any relevance when he comes back, or is this now Rojo's show after 17 carries for 106 yards?
I don't know, man. Rojo's looks, I'll say, surprisingly good. But there's also a part of me that's like, they brought Fournette in. I don't feel like they're just going to blackball him and not give him any workload. So it may end up hurting Rojo more than necessarily helping Fournette, in my opinion.
See, and I'm almost the other way. I think Rojo's proving that this is his backfield. And honestly, I think with Vaughn getting a little more involved, that actually helps Rojo more. And I think Fournette is kind of just a change of pace guy that if they need him, he's there. But if not, this is the Jones show. And I thought Vaughn looked decent. I mean, he wasn't doing much, but like what he did do, minus the the fumble where he got absolutely destroyed.
Yeah.
Because I played him in a few leagues this week and it did not go over well, but
yeah, he's sitting on my deck. And the limited stuff
I've seen, I think he looks good.
Yeah, I agree. I am hoping that he continues to see some work because he's sitting on my taxi squad in my home dynasty. So our other top shelf was Mr. Allen Robinson. I don't care who the man's playing against. I don't care who he's playing for because Chicago hasn't paid him yet. They need to. The man is quarterback proof. Matchup proof. I could be playing quarterback left-handed and blindfolded, and he'd probably still catch everything.
Well, and that's what was so frustrating is some of the targets he did get were such bad throws that the stat line should be even better than just the 10 receptions. But yeah, I agree. He's somebody I'm playing every week. He's in my lineup, no question. Foles, Trubisky, doesn't matter. And then are you worried about Scotty Miller? Zero targets in this game with no Chris Godwin in.
Worried? No, because I think he's more of a fill-in player anyway. I think probably going forward, their three wide receiver sets are going to be Godwin, Evans, and Tyler Johnson now that he's actually had a proven game.
That's what I was going to ask you, was if Tyler Johnson is the one that is the new Scotty Miller. He looked great.
Yeah. I don't know if he's like the exact same type of player or fitting that role necessarily, but I think he could be the third option for them in the receiving game, no question.
Yeah, for sure. I think he's someone interesting to watch and definitely for dynasty purposes, somebody I'd be looking into.
Yeah, for sure. Me too. And I don't own him enough in Dynasty. It's kind of depressing.
Yeah, likewise. Our next one is the Falcons-Panthers. Man, Mike Davis continues to get it done. 16 carries, 89 yards, and another 60 yards in the air and a touchdown. And Gurley finally looks kind of like his old self there. 14 carries, 121, and a touchdown. And 29 yards off four receptions.
Yeah,
I was impressed.
Gurley ripped off that long touchdown run, and I was happy to get that notification. Yes. I talked about how he was a buy this offseason, and I still think he was. I just think Atlanta's been bad, so he hasn't been getting as much production. I think he's been getting the volume. He just hasn't been producing, but I was happy to see he finally ripped one off.
Yeah, and then Moore and Anderson, Moore finally came through with what you've been hoping for. But it's still Robbie Anderson is the receiver that I want in the Carolina because he's getting the receptions, he's getting the targets. I think going forward, he's still the guy that's going to be number one for Teddy.
Yeah, I think so too. And based off of the stat sheet, he got more. He obviously got more targets because he had more receptions. But I also called the DJ Moore. We'll call it a bounce back game. In the start sit, just because Atlanta's secondary is so bad. So I think you could probably get away with owning both of them because Teddy has looked very, very good. So I'm fine owning both, but Anderson is the one I want right now. Long term, probably still more, but we'll see.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And yeah, Teddy looked great. I just had to make a trade for him because I lost Dak.
Yep.
So I'm hoping that this continues because he looked good, and I think with McCaffrey coming back, I think that's only going to help him.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool. And the next one we got is the Ravens-Bengals. Brown finally came through with the top-shelf performance, 6 receptions, 77 yards and a touchdown. Andrews, 6 receptions, 56 yards and a touchdown. Both of them were solid, but it's the backfield there that I don't know what to do with or want any part of.
Yeah, I was talking to my cousin, and I was like, why do coaches not, like, if they have someone that is superiorly talented in the backfield, why do they not just play him? Mm-hmm. Like, and the people that made me think of are Dobbins, Jonathan Taylor, Clyde Edwards-Alaire, and then from a college football standpoint, Auburn needs to play Tank Bigsby because the kid had, I think, almost 250 yards. So for you Devy people out there that are listening, go get Tank Bigsby wherever you can because he's going to be a stud. And I just don't get it. Like, if you've got someone who's better – clearly, why do you not play him a majority of the time? Why are you splitting the snaps up so much? And I feel like it takes running backs out of a rhythm if they're playing like a series here or a snap there, and then they take 4 series off and then they get another snap here. It's like, let them play consecutive snaps back to back and then maybe they'll get on a roll and you won't have to keep subbing them out. I don't know. That's just my thoughts on it.
No, it makes sense to me, and I don't understand it either. It's clear who the better back is there, and it doesn't seem like they want to concede that point. Yeah. But the one thing I am happy about is that Lamar Jackson sits at quarterback 11 as of right now. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I think he's been nothing but disappointing. My shot was that he does not even finish in the top 5, so I feel good about that call so far.
Yeah, you're looking pretty good on that.
And I don't think it changes. I don't think they're winning. Whatever they're doing is working. And I don't know. I don't get the hype that everybody throws on him.
Well, Dom FFL and I are good friends outside of just the Twitter fantasy world. And he called it too. He said, like, if you looked at Lamar's efficiency last year, it was stupid how efficient he was
absolutely
at scoring touchdowns. And it was going to have to come down to a normal level. QB11's not bad. But
no, not at all.
You drafted, but where you drafted him, yeah. Exactly. So, no.
Well, and honestly, if you take away his rushing, those numbers look pretty bad. So,
yeah, but like you said, they're still winning, so they're not going to change.
No, and I think it's kind of – To me, it's not the same necessarily in comparison of talent-wise, but just the gimmicky play of Taysom Hill.
Yeah.
To me, Lamar's the same thing, that once he's figured out, he doesn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And I don't think he'll ever figure it out. It doesn't look like he gets it. So it's like once you can lock him down, all he has is his rushing to rely on. Mm-hmm. And you'll take that, but at the same time, defenses are just going to, you know, slowly, but they'll figure it out. And then you'll force him to actually throw, and he just can't do it. So it's, to me, I'm out on him completely. I don't own him anywhere, and I never will.
Yeah.
But yeah, for the price you paid in drafts, it's not worth it.
No, definitely not.
All right, next. Are you worried about Burrow at all with that game, or is that just...
No. Their defense is stupid good. I mean, I know you don't like him, but if you look at Baker's game against the Ravens, and then you look at Baker so far for the rest of the year, no, Baker's not blowing anything out of the water, but he's playing pretty steady and pretty good. That defense is just nasty. I wouldn't be worried about Burrow.
Yeah. Okay, Texans and the Jaguars. You buying anything off this performance from Cooks? 8 receptions, 161, and a touchdown?
No. I don't even really have anything more to expound on other than no. I still think Fuller is the guy there.
Yeah, I think so too.
That you want to own, and Cooks is one hit away from being dead. So, yeah, no.
This was more just a nice game to see from Watson.
Yeah, for sure.
And our flat performance here is from Robinson. 13 carries, 48 yards, had a fumble. Only thing that kind of salvaged today is his 5 receptions, but this is one I'm not too worried about either.
I'm not either. I think he just probably had a bad day.
They were playing from behind, so it was more passing than anything.
Yeah.
Shark got hurt here, and I know it's his ankle, but I didn't see if they're planning on him missing time or what his possibility of missing is. So that's one to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
But definitely. If and he is will, out, we'll yeah.
give you updates later in the week.
Yes. And if he is out, Chenault's your guy for sure there.
Yep.
Chiefs, Raiders, Mahomes was doing Mahomes things.
Yep.
Nice game from Carr here.
Yeah, definitely.
Ruggs looked good. Granted, it was only 2 receptions, but
2 very good receptions though. The first one was, I saw the replay of it finally. I was listening to it in the car when it happened, and that was nasty. And then his touchdown was nice too. Carr floated it up there, let him run under it, and he ran it. I just outran everybody, so I'm not surprised by that. But I am happy to see it because dude's been hurt, and I think he's going to be pretty good. He's going to be able to outrun anybody once you get the ball in his hands. So I'm not really worried about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Top shelf from Kelce as well. 8 receptions, 108 yards, touchdown. But a flat performance from Edwards-Helaire here. 10 carries, 40 yards, 3 receptions, 40 yards. Kind of saves you with that, but are you disappointed with this going forward, or is this just kind of how the game was going?
It was how the game was going, I think. It was a shootout.
Yeah.
And he was still getting his looks in the passing game. I'm not worried about it, but why the hell are you still playing Darrell Williams? Like, stop.
Yeah. He did have the touchdown called back, but – you know, you're still disappointed. Yeah. And I agree. I don't know why he's not in there more. And then our next matchup here, the Cardinals and the Jets. Murray looked great again. 27 for 37, 380 and a touchdown. 9 carries, 31 yards and a touchdown. Hopkins, 6 receptions, 131 and a touchdown. Drake finally scored. So he saves your day there, but man, I'm still not happy with it.
I wouldn't be either. Not to toot my own horn, but he was somebody I was selling in the offseason, or not buying in the offseason, just because I don't know. I didn't believe in him.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on, but Edmonds honestly is the guy I'd rather have there.
Yeah.
Right now, but in that backfield, I'd kind of stay away from either guy because you're not going to know who's going to get what.
Yeah, for sure.
But with the Jets, Jamison Crowder has been solid. And I think he's the only guy I want in this offense and the only guy I feel comfortable starting every week. 8 receptions, 116 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah. Gase loves the slot. and Darnold loves the slot, so that's a match made in heaven for Crowder. So I'm not touching anyone else right now. Crowder's who I want. A stash would be Mims.
Yeah, exactly.
From what I've heard or what I've read, he's still pretty banged up. So I actually just got Mims in a crazy story that I'll have to tell another time in my home Dynasty League. I bid $600 plus on Mims.
Jesus.
Yeah. So there's a little teaser for you for maybe next episode.
Nice. Le'Veon Bell makes his comeback here. 13 carries, 60 yards. What are you doing with him?
I'm holding him for now.
Okay. Next matchup, Steelers-Eagles. This was the Chase Claypool game.
Yeah, buddy.
My goodness.
And he doesn't need to play tight end, damn it.
No, absolutely not. He brought in a top-shelf performance with 7 receptions, 110 yards, and 3 touchdowns, and then 3 carries, 6 yards, and a touchdown. Mm-hmm. My goodness, this was.
I also just traded.
So nice to finally see.
And I almost won this week with my 0-5 team.
Nice. Yeah, I have him in a couple places, and I had to kind of was forced to play him with just injuries and some of the bye weeks hit me with like Kenny being out and Adams being out. Paid off big time.
Yeah, for sure.
We also got a top shelf performance from Sanders, 11 carries, 80 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Fulgham had 10 receptions, 152 yards, and a touchdown.
We had a top shelf performance from Sanders because he had 2 touchdowns. If you take away his 74-yard touchdown run, he had 10 carries for 6 yards.
I was waiting for you to point that out.
6 yards. That's god awful. Okay, I'm done.
No, I'm with you. Both him and Wentz, I'm done with. You know, he had that nice run, but agree. You take that away and it's not pretty.
No.
I mean, Fulgham's really the only thing that you could like hang your hat on and say had a great day. That dude was open every time. It was insane.
Yeah.
Zach Ertz, 1 reception for 6 yards.
Yeah, that hurts. Because he's my tight end 1 in Scott Fishbowl.
You know, I regretted trading him away in the offseason because I had no real strong depth. I had Jarwin and Gesicki.
Yeah.
And I kicked myself doing it, but the return was too good. And, man, I'm so glad I did it.
Yeah.
It's been awful since. Same with, I mean, you had a bad week from Juju and Deontay.
Yeah.
I think they bounced back because this was just a Claypool game.
Did Deontay get hurt again, or was it basically just a Claypool game? I didn't actually get to see it.
I did not see it. Let me look and see. You can jump ahead to the next one while I look that up.
Yeah. So our next game is the Rams at the Washington football team. The Rams are good, and I have not heard a ton of chatter about that anywhere. But Goff had 300 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, and a rush touchdown. Henderson had 2 touchdowns, 1 on the ground, 1 in the air. Woods gave you 4 catches for 71 yards and a touchdown. So those were our top shelf performances of the game. They all looked really good. Kupp still had, I think, like 5 catches for 55 yards or something like that. So he still had a decent day. And then our flat performances were Antonio Gibson for 11 carries, 27 yards, 5 catches, and 24 yards. I think this is just chalking it up to the Rams are good, and that was a tough matchup. McLaurin had a disappointing day. I'm not worried about it. And then Higbee had 2 catches for 12 yards, and those were our flat performances as well. Hell, I'm not really worried about it. If you can own Akers or Henderson, then get them. I think long-term Akers might be the play, but Henderson has just continually scored. So
yeah,
that, and then same with Woods and Kupp. Keep trying to own them wherever you can. And I'm not really worried about Gibson either because he got the volume.
Yeah, I agree. So for Deontay, he did exit with a back injury, so he didn't come back in after that. So that would be why he had a flat performance. That is also something to keep an eye on, because if that is the case, that is a Chase Claypool could have even bigger impact.
Yeah.
With that.
Yeah.
Next was the Dolphins just absolutely crushing the Niners. This was a Fitzgerald, Preston Williams, Gesicki, Parker game. It was just trash from the offense on the Niners side. McKinnon had only one carry. Jimmy G was pulled after throwing two interceptions. I mean, this was just bad.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting this, but Preston Williams, we'll say he's back.
Yeah.
Papa Conks, if you're listening, you can suck it. And then I am like, I'm shocked at how bad the 49ers looked. I don't even know what to do with it. They were bad offensively and defensively. So hopefully they can bounce back if you've got them anywhere. And I don't know. I'm thinking Jimmy G might have come back a little too soon. Might have been his problem. And might have still been hurt enough to not be able to fully get enough zip on the ball. So, and McKinnon, that's just interesting. But Mostert was back, wasn't he?
Yeah, but I thought McKinnon would still be a little more involved than just seeing one carry.
Yeah.
Had two receptions, but I mean, that's one I'd keep an eye on. Just.
Yeah.
Maybe sure. Keep him on your bench for next week too, but I kind of has me raised with a little bit of an eyebrow there. I thought he'd be a little more involved just with the fact that Mostert was still maybe not 100%, but
yeah,
I don't know.
For sure.
Next, Colts and Browns, not much to talk about on the Colts side. Rivers, 243 and two interceptions. Not getting it done for you, but Hunt had a top shelf performance here with 20 carries, 72 yards, and then another three receptions for 21 yards and a touchdown. He's good to go every week. And the Browns actually are good.
Yeah. As a Browns fan, I won't say I expected this. I expected change within head coach that wasn't Freddie Kitchens. And I think we're getting that. So I'm not totally shocked, but I'm very, very happy. Baker hadn't been a world beater. He hadn't been Russell Wilson or Josh Allen or anything like that, but he's doing the job to get games won, and that's what I care about at this point. So
absolutely.
He had another two touchdowns. He threw two interceptions in this game too, which was I don't know. The second one I think came late, and I, again, didn't get to see much. Wasn't watching a ton yesterday. But I know one of those came late, and I don't know. I'm not worried about it, though. I think he's being used like he's supposed to in this offense. And as Stefanski and him get more comfortable with each other, they'll continue to succeed.
For sure. Next is the Cowboys and the Giants.
Do we have to talk about it?
For anybody that didn't see it, I don't know how you haven't heard about it yet, but Dak did go down with a dislocated ankle and a compound fracture, I think it was, on his ankle.
Yep.
It was nasty.
I turned SportsCenter on this morning. And then I went upstairs to shower, and my wife texted me and said, "Oh my God, that was nasty." And when I came back downstairs, I asked her what was nasty. Was it the baby's diaper? And she said, "No, his foot," talking about Dak. And I was like, "Oh yeah, that was awful."
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, that was one.
That hurts. And
it was just such a bummer because of, I mean, he was, I think, an MVP candidate so far, just on fire.
Yeah.
Proving that he was going to earn his contract next season. And it's just not the way you want to see it happen. But
yeah,
hoping he's able to come back and come back even better. So they get the red rifle from here on out. So
yep.
Zeke was Zeke. CeeDee Lamb continues to be amazing.
Yep.
Slayton is the guy you want in
yep.
for the Giants.
For sure. Been saying it for weeks, haven't we? He's yep. getting the volume. He's just had some tough matchups. So.
Yeah, and you're not putting Jones out there. He's been awful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, moving on with the Seahawks and the Vikings. Adam Thielen came through solid, 2 touchdowns. Jefferson was a little bit of a flat performance here, but I think, yeah, I'm not worried about it either. Same with Lockett. This was. DK was the one that was open for everything.
Yeah.
And him and Wilson are starting to get a good combo together. And I think it's going to kind of be a 1 week it'll be Lockett, 1 week it'll be DK, next week it'll be both of them. Exactly. So you're still putting them both out there.
For sure. For sure. And Thielen is the reason that I'm going to end up losing in my home league dynasty. He ended up outplaying, well, not outplaying, but with the other combined factors is the reason that Claypool's 41 points ended up not getting me the win.
Yeah. So let's get into the meat of it all, the waivers.
Yes, sir.
So I'll just crank through the names. You tell me what your thoughts are here.
Okay.
Tyler Johnson.
Yeah, I want him in Dynasty. He finally showed us that he was worth his fifth-round draft pick and more. I'm not going to bid a ton on him, though, just because I don't think for Dynasty purposes he's probably on your waivers. If he's on there for redraft, throw $5 to $10 at him, and he might be a decent stash for later in the season if Godwin continues to be hurt or if Evans.
Yeah, I was going to say Evans or Godwin. It's,
yeah. It
could be either one depending on the week.
Exactly.
Okay, Andy Dalton.
Yeah, this one I'm throwing a lot of money at if you've got a – if you had Dak or if you, like, tried to punt QB in a Superflex league – I'm throwing out of a $100 budget, $50. Out of a $200 budget, I'm throwing at least $100 at Dalton. I think with the weapons that the Cowboys have, he can still easily be a QB1. I think he got thrown into a tough situation in this game, and they still ended up pulling out the win. So I think if you give him reps with the ones, he's going to be just fine.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think he's the silver lining in all this. It's a shitty situation. Makes
him look like a genius.
Yeah, it's a bad situation, but you've got a solid veteran backup, and that's what they've been lacking before. So it's nice to actually have somebody that's capable that can come in and get the job done. And like you said, he looked pretty rusty at first, taking a sack on the first play. But
yeah.
I mean, as he went through, he had 2 money throws that, I mean, more of it was Gallup, but
yeah,
you know, he still got it to where he needed to get it. So I'm it sucks, but we're in capable hands.
Yeah, I agree.
So yeah, I'm right there with you. And Superflex, absolutely, I'd be throwing a lot to get him.
Yeah.
Chase Claypool next.
I don't even know where to begin on this from a bid standpoint. I'm throwing $50 at him, I think. Kid is big. He's fast. He's athletic. He's a touchdown machine. I love him because he went to Notre Dame. Yeah, go get Chase Claypool. I don't care what you have to do. Just go get him. He's clearly shown that he can play wide receiver, doesn't have to make a switch to tight end, and he's going to be a fantasy producer. So... have fun. $50 yeah. at least.
Especially if Johnson's out.
Yeah.
I mean, even with him there, I think this is still a solid pickup. I think it's proved that this wasn't a fluke. He's the real deal. And I think he's going to start being targeted more as we get on through the season.
Yep, for sure.
Next, you put Case Keenum on here. I'm assuming with the Baker rib injury.
Yeah. So the only reason I have Case on here is more for Superflex purposes. Baker got hurt his ribs towards the end of the game and I think he was getting an MRI on them today. I haven't seen the results of those. So if you have Baker or if you need help in QB, Case Keenum, someone who I would go chase after, maybe throw $5 maximum at him, but just kind of monitor the Baker situation. And if Baker ends up being out, then you've got someone who can, can run Stefanski's offense. And be a good fill in for you, especially with bye weeks, coming through. So,
right. Yeah, I think I saw that Stefanski said that Baker will pretty much play through it, but we've seen stuff like that before, and then miraculously they're out. So I definitely think so. But, yeah, I wouldn't throw too much at him.
No, definitely not.
And like you said, this is more of a super flex than anything.
Yeah.
So the next one is Chase Edmonds. I know he's probably pretty highly owned, but
yeah, he's definitely still worth mentioning. 46.5% in ESPN leagues. So I'd like to keep, like, if I put somebody on this list, they're 50% owned or less. So he still hits that threshold. If he's out there, I'm throwing 30 to 40 bucks at him. And the reason being is he's looked better out of the two running backs. He's not getting as much volume per se in the rushing game, but he's getting more receiving work from what I have seen. And yes, in PPR or half PPR, he's going to be a flex option for you with the amount of receiving work he's getting. So I'm throwing $30 or $40 at him to go get someone who's that solid.
Absolutely. Next is Alex Smith.
Yeah,
not a name I thought I'd be reading off of this list. And
just give the man comeback player of the year.
Absolutely.
That's pretty much all I wanted to say, other than Kyle Allen also got hurt. So, again, in Superflex leagues, if you had Haskins or if you had Allen because you lost Haskins or you had Lock or something like that, if you're scrambling for a QB, Alex Smith may be one that I go pick up in a Superflex league. Again, I'm throwing $5-$10 max at him and monitoring Kyle Allen's injury situation.
I think Allen's back, but I honestly think he's on a short leash, and
for sure,
I'm hoping Alex Smith takes over this job.
Me too.
But yeah, again, this is another one that's just more super flex.
Definitely.
Okay, next one, Irv Smith.
Irv Smith finally had a sighting, and I love it. He is definitely someone in Dynasty that I am buying, and I think it's just a matter of time before he starts getting going this season as well. I think it kind of took him a little while last year to get going too. He's only owned in 4.3% of ESPN leagues. So I'd probably throw, I'd say $15 to $20 at him if he's on your waiver wire. And if he's not in Dynasty, go trade for him, because I think he's just going to continually get better. And it takes tight ends a little while to really get going. And I think he's in year two, maybe year three. I can't remember off the top of my head. So he's someone I would buy at the tight end position for Dynasty for sure.
Okay. I'm with you on that one. I think I just made a trade for him a little while ago and got him for nothing. So this was nice to see him finally put a performance in.
Yeah.
Next is Laviska Shenault.
Hasta la vista, baby. been talking about this dude for a little while. He's just gritty and nasty and athletic. He's owned in 32% of ESPN leagues, and Chark is hurt and potentially out for a little while. He's led the team in targets, receptions, and yards this week. And if Chark misses any time, he's going to have a much greater opportunity to continue to do that. And I think they want to use him as much as they can, even when Charke gets back. So go get Laviska Shenault, and $30 is a minimum bid.
Absolutely. I'm stoked to see him finally getting a little bit more here. He's such a playmaker. I've enjoyed watching his rise over the last couple of weeks. So I think it continues to keep going. Keelan Cole, he's just, I think, another one I would keep in mind if Shark is out.
Yeah, definitely. He scored a touchdown, had six targets, only two catches on those six targets. Yeah, he's someone, especially if Chark is out, that I would go get as a fill-in option. And he'll be a decent flex play, I think. So okay. I'm throwing $15, $20, $25 on him, depending on how your league has bid so far this season. And if you've got Chark, I may throw a little bit more just to kind of get a fill-in guy if he does end up missing time.
For sure.
And then one other guy that I want to mention on this team real quick is Colin Johnson. He's only owned in 0.1% of ESPN leagues, probably because he's a dynasty stash, but dude is going to be pretty good, I think. He's a tall athletic receiver. If you can't tell, I like tall athletic receivers. but he's someone that I would go get and stash if you can for dynasty purposes, and he's another $0 to $5 bid.
Right on. Probably the biggest one here is Alexander Mattison.
Yep.
I would say your chances of getting him are probably pretty slim, as he's almost at that threshold for you, but he's definitely the guy to own.
Yeah. I want him over Mike Boone. He's owned in 41.6% of ESPN leagues, so he's getting close to that threshold that we talked about. If he's out there and Cook is going to miss a significant amount of time, go get him. I don't care what you have to bid. Bid $50, bid $60. Just go make sure you get him. And if you're the Cook owner and you don't already have him on your roster, I'm sorry. I love you, but you're an idiot.
I take that personally because that person is me.
I love you, but I believe in handcuffs probably more than I should, but like if I've got a guy like Cook who's injury prone, then I want his handcuff. If I've got a guy like Zeke, even who his handcuff has shown that he can replace him, then I want that handcuff. Because if he goes down, then I'm the transition's so much easier on my team.
For sure.
And I don't know, I'm probably unique in that and having that high of an opinion on handcuffs, but it's just kind of how I roll. I feel like it helps reduce risk in certain situations.
No, for sure. That's a solid point. And then our last guy here is Travis Fulgham. More so if Alshon and Djax continue to be out, he's somebody I would probably go after a little bit if you're hurting in receiver depth.
Yeah.
How much are you going to throw down on him?
I looked at his last two performances just to really familiarize myself with him because I think someone in our league said Fulgham and they were like, who? And someone else was like, exactly. So I went and looked up his two past performances. I'd throw $25 at him because, like you said, if Alshon and Djax continue to be unreliable, and I think Rager's on IR for at least two more weeks, then go get him, and especially if you need wide receiver depth, like you said. But $25, I feel like, should be a good solid bid to win that.
Right on. So we're going to jump into last call, and this last call is party fouls. And we're going to talk about guys that if it's okay to drop them. So I'm going to list off a couple guys for you, and you just tell me yay or nay.
Okay.
AJ Green.
Drop him.
T.Y. Hilton.
Drop him.
Sony Michelle.
Drop him.
Fitz. Larry Fitzgerald.
I'm keeping him. I think he's still a decent flex play.
Okay. Daniel Jones.
I'm probably dropping him unless it's super flex.
Okay. DJ Moore, this would be more of like, are you trying to trade him away?
No, I think I'm going to keep him.
Okay. Gronk?
Cut him.
Ertz?
Oh, I don't think you can cut him with what you spent on him. But I would definitely be trying to trade him away if you can.
Austin Hooper.
Cut him.
I can't. Hayden Hurst. Right? Hayden Hurst.
I'm keeping Hurst.
Okay. Cousins.
Keeping him.
Rivers.
Especially in Superflex. Superflex, yes. Keep him. One QB, I'd probably cut him.
Okay. Matt Ryan.
He is like Ertz. I don't think you could probably afford to just straight up cut him. So I would probably try and trade him if you can. I actually just did in our league and got Goff because I needed to get younger on that team.
No, that was a solid one. And last on the list is Malcolm Brown.
Cut him. I think Akers and Henderson are the way to go.
Yeah, I think you're right, too. I think his time is over. Is there anybody else that you were thinking of that might be somebody you're just looking to drop?
Not necessarily drop, but kind of tied to Rivers. I don't really want anything to do with anyone that catches balls from him. So tight end, receivers, I'm kind of out on anybody in the Indy receiving core.
Yeah.
It's not predictable at this point, so I don't want to touch that right now.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Run the damn ball with Jonathan Taylor.
Yes. Absolutely. I don't get what's going on there, but yeah, Taylor's the only person I want on that offense, and they're just not using him right.
Yep, for sure.
Well, that wraps up this week's episode. Just remember, next week we got the Seahawks, Saints, Chargers, and Raiders all on bye. I know some of those changed because of the Broncos-Patriots game being postponed, so plan accordingly there. Make sure you follow the show on Twitter at Fantasy Nightcap. You can follow Shane at FFShaneB, and you can follow me at CarbonFoxFF. And don't forget to keep up with our injury updates throughout the week on the show account.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Nightcap, where we serve you fantasy advice straight. No chaser. And don't forget to check out our new section of the website, ffastronauts.com. Astroware! Yep, that's right. We still have Astro merch where you can get t-shirts, hoodies, and all kinds of stuff. So check that out and go buy some cool stuff.